News.
Read by Alan Smith. In a moment, our brilliant new sketch show with an entirely Cornish cast and writing team starring Dawn French. Fling those clichés to one side and enjoy half an hour of fun, including the bolshy hotel receptionists and news of an alien invasion. That's in a moment. First, what will you find if you head online?
OK, let's do this.
On BBC iPlayer, you'll find what you love.
You know what they say, Pip. Love is blind.
And love what you find.
Stuck in the recipe for talking like that.
Binge-watch brilliant shows.
That's my weekend taken care of.
From the latest.
If my life was a movie, it'd be a classic.
To the greatest.
Welcome to a place that is astonishing.
And live stream BBC TV.
A dramatic day in a fascinating season.
The best way to watch TV. BBC iPlayer.
Comedy Now on Radio 4 as we head into Cornwall and join Dawn French and the gang for a look at what makes the real Cornwall tick. Recorded in front of a lively audience at the Acorn Theatre, Penzance, this is Was on Cornwall.
La 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 la.
Ah, Cornwall. Every year thousands of people flock to its beautiful beaches and picturesque towns. And when they arrive, they discover so much more. Crippling unemployment, dodgy transport links, and God help us all, Gordon Ramsay. Join me, Dawn French, as we discover this feral, epic land. You'll come for the beaches and you'll stay, because the beaches have given you gastroenteritis. This is Was on Cornwall.
La 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 la.
Hi, we're Jess and...
LJ.
And we work
at
the
Royal Hotel Penzance.
Excuse me, do you have any rooms?
Rooms for what?
Well, this is a hotel, isn't it?
The entire building is made of rooms, so you're going to need to be more specific.
Like a room to sleep in?
Right, okay. Why didn't you just say that? Okay, we've got a room. It's available tonight for one night, and that's for sleeping in that one.
Oh, okay. I need two nights.
Best I can do is 1.5 nights. You have the first night, then at 3:30 a.m. on the second night, we get you out and we get the next person in. So it's 1.5 nights.
Do you have anything else?
I do have one more room. This one's available for 2 nights. Sea view.
Oh, wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, but you'd have to share it with our chef. He wouldn't even get in till around 11. He does like a cuddle, though, don't he, Jess?
What, Gareth? Yeah, absolutely, cuddle monster, yeah.
I'm not sure that would be right.
What, you don't like cuddles?
No, it's just...
Well, great, I'll book you in then.
I'm just going to go and have a look down the road, see if they've got anything.
But I've booked you in. You're booked in. Don't worry, Gareth's going to shower first.
This isn't going to work out. I'm off.
That was 1 minute 20. Your fastest time for a guest exit yet.
Get in!
Welcome to Searchlight Southwest. I'm Kirsty Tedds here with you on this extraordinary day. If you missed the announcement earlier, there's an actual fleet of alien vessels attacking London as we speak. Our first thought is, of course, to wonder how this is going to affect local property values in Cornwall. Tony Roseland, thoughts?
Hello, Kirsty. Well, hordes of terrified Londoners fleeing the capital will almost certainly lead to an uptick in staycations. The rest of the country does see our region as the bolt hole in times of a pandemic, economic hardship, or, in this case, a race of warlike extraterrestrial beings determined to crush humanity under its clawed feet.
Martin Dreckley, what are the likely effects on local wages?
Probably a short-term gain if you're selling goods like rice, toilet rolls, broom handles with knives taped to them and so on. Although sales of cushions with characters from Poldark on are unlikely to be affected. But if this invasion rolls on for too long, rendering money worthless and driving us towards a barter economy, it's possible that with more newcomers coming down than the area can support, wages will collapse unless, and I can't stress this enough, we start eating them.
And we
we have some brand new footage now. I believe those alien vessels have extruded some sort of pipe or nozzle which appears to be pumping a sort of black powder into the streets, turning anyone who encounters it into zombie-like, mind-controlled allies of the alien invaders. Kerry St. Dennis, you're our science correspondent. Can I get a reaction from you?
Thanks, Kirsty. Yes, the black powder does appear to be heavier than air, so with the winds predominantly blowing in an easterly direction, I think Cornwall's air quality is going to remain absolutely fine.
The zombie-like, mind-controlled humans?
I can't rule out some getting onto trains or buses by sheer chance, so that 5 hours later or so, we find snarling, red-eyed, once-human creatures stumbling out onto the streets of Truro Penzance, crazed with bloodlust and acting on terrible unknown whims.
So, about the level of a stag do, then?
Sounds about right, Kirsty. So, yeah, quick bang on the head with a crowbar, then roll the bodies into the sea, usual stuff.
Marvellous. That is a relief.
Have you heard of Duolingo, the hit language learning app with 49 million users? No, and for legal reasons, neither have we. Introducing Kernolingo, the easiest way for holidaymakers to learn the Cornish language. With Kernolingo, you'll learn to count and use numbers in a sentence. For example,
Andrew ara pragheno onan do tree trainessa itho ninzas le vit rag and telu ma the trigger.
Which means Andrew has 1, 2, 3 second homes, so this family of 4 has nowhere to live. Learn essential phrases for finding your way around, such as
Clema an treff, mia vin luia ohar war novel.
That means, where's the beach? I can't wait to drive my car onto it. You'll also learn what to say in an emergency, like
Harrow! Imma and mortid o tos has stag oo ohar oo war and treff.
Which means, help, the tide's coming in and my car's stuck on the beach. And finally, learn to get your point across in style, like
Kerno addressed war vorion carparni del wozoch,
which literally translates as Cornwall relies on tourists like us, you know. A phrase that is sure to command instant respect from the locals. And definitely won't get you laughed all the way back to the M25. Download Kernolingo and start being offensive in 2 languages today.
Hello, May. Hello. Yeah, come and see her. Look, come and see her. There's room if I budge up.
Hello, Sally. Fancy seeing you here.
Yeah, it's funny because, yeah, my granny Anne used to say she was always bumping into famous people, yeah, back in the day, like living in her in Cornwall, yeah. She said they were just like you and me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Granny Anne was at school with loads of famous people. Roger Taylor from Queen, that novelist writer of Smiley's People, John le Carré, yeah, and jazz singer Billie Holiday.
Billie Holiday?
Yeah. Yeah, she said they went on a school trip, yeah. Her and Billy to St. Austell. Yeah, it was Billy, because she was all like,
here we are in St. Austell for the China Clay Quarry. I've always wanted to see how clay is refined and processed through 15 various stages. Get on.
And then apparently on the way back to Painter's Lane End, Billie Holiday wolfed a packet of Skips down so fast the coach had to stop 3 times for her to be sick in a burn.
Are you sure that was Billie Holiday?
Yeah, it's just like you and me.
I thought that was some pretty great lovemaking just then, darling. How about you?
Well, to be honest, Daryl, I can't say I found the experience entirely satisfactory.
Are you having relationship troubles in the bedroom area?
Oh,
what?
So you pace down and try it once more. Focus this time on her needs, not yours. Your angle's all wrong, your technique is poor. 'Tis a marathon, not a sprint. Oh, my God!
Presenting Shantimacy. A new subscription service for lovers. Level up your relationship by having 4 or 5 big blokes in jumpers commenting on your every sensual move.
Oh, Oh, shanty singers, what would we do without you?
What the hell, Sandra?
And why not sign up for our advanced subscription, where for just a little more per week, our shanty singers really get stuck in with in-depth personal criticism.
No, it's fine, really.
Oh, Daryl has issues that stem from his mother. She ignored him as a child, took one lover, then another. It's left him bereft and psychically damaged. He makes love like he's out for revenge.
Shanty singers, what can't they do?
Right, class, settle down, settle down. Please welcome Kerry Kerner from the St. Kieran Oral History Society. We were going to have a talk from the team at Spaceport Cornwall, but unfortunately their car got a puncture on the way over from Newgate. Mrs. Kerner is going to talk at us about some of our most enduring local Cornish myths and legends.
Yes, I am, thank you. Today we're exploring both the myth, the legend, and also the myth of King Arthur. Now, in many versions of the legend, Arthur the young man cub pulls a big shiny sword from a stone. Now, anyone know the name of the sword?
Excalibur.
No, you prat. It's actually called Caladfa the Witch.
Sorry, what?
Anyway, sidebar, the sword scabbard is also said to have magic powers.
Miss, what's a scabbard?
Well, it's a sort of sheath that you stick your sword in. It slides over the shaft. What is it? What? Why is that funny? I'm just saying the sheath is a sort of massive metal condom. So who can tell me the names of the knights?
Lancelot.
How do you know that?
From King Arthur, A Knight's Tale. It's a role-playing computer game.
No. No, let's not go down that road, please. Next thing you know, we'll be on the dark web with Bitcoin and baby oil and bare bum nudists. That's what I did. Anyone else know a knight's name?
Sir Galahad.
No, my darling, but well done for trying. The main knights were Sir Gawain, Sir Geraint, Sir Galahad.
I said Galahad!
Yeah, of course you did, bless you. Sir Percival, Sir Ivain the Brave, Sir Boris the Bastard, Sir Boris the Johnson, even bigger bastard. Sir Bagpuss, Sir Tristan, Sir Dancer, Sir Prancer, Sir Vixen, Blitzen, Comet, and Rudolph. It's a fire alarm! Everybody hide!
It's just the end of the lesson.
What? Next week, the legend of Jethro the Comedian. The only other Cornish person the rest of Merry England have heard of.
Hello, I'm Anne Trevuer, and this is Cornish Matters. From the Flora dance in and out of the houses of Helston to the songs and costumes of the Obios processions of Padstow, Cornwall has more traditional folk pageants than you can shake a bell and ribbon covered stick at. I'm here in the lovely town of Penpelican with Jade. That's quite a costume you've got there. Is it a bird?
Is it a bird? It's the Ricky Hoot. He's an owl. He's the owl, the St. Crundy's Eve owl that leads the procession right through the town. See, I've got wings made out of sacks and tinsel. And if I pull this rope, see, he's flapping.
So tell me about the procession.
It's bonkers. I go down the street flapping away, clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop, and I peck on every front door. And then whoever's inside, they answer and I sing along. I'm the Ricky Hoot, is my nest in here. If you don't want me staying, then bring me some beer. And then they bring me a beer.
Do they have a choice?
Oh yeah, it can be bitter or lager. I don't mind anything. And then I go in their house and I turn round three times and then Terry follows in after me and you can probably see Terry's the Ossal Pig.
So he comes in after me with the four Jackie Wall phases. That's Kev, Sunil, Tamara, and Terry's stepbrother Boots over there in kimonos. And they all sing, the Ottle Pigs now plays his part. Give us roundy cakes or we'll give you a fart. And then the person whose house it is has to give everyone roundy cakes. Unless, of course, they want Terry letting one off. And believe you me, they do not want that in their front room.
Roundy cakes?
Like, you know, biscuits. Nice ones, though. Hobnobs, Tunnocks, Jaffa Cakes, not Oreos. And then we go on to the next house and do it all over again until basically we're too pissed to stand up. Cheers!
That's amazing. And how long have the people of Pen Pelican been performing the St. Crundy's Eve procession?
Oh, I came up with it yesterday. But I reckon it's going to really catch on.
Hi, I'm Trevor Thomas, General Manager of Pengo Bills Illagan, Cornwall's premier department store, where you'll find an Aladdin's cave at knock-off prices. Our in-house beautician, Steve, will give you all the makeup tips and tricks of the stars. What have you got for us this week, Steve?
Oh, wax Brazilians.
Great tip.
Plus, I'm shifting a load of channel number 6. Not talking Freeview, I'm on about perfume. It's like number 5, but a bit better. Get out for your bird, covers a multitude of sins, and you'll smell her coming a mile off.
That's Pengo-tastic. Over to you, Margaret, from our infamous gardening department.
Reduce, reuse, recycling, Trevor. See this? I'm selling bags of fertilizer for the veg patch. It's the upper crust.
Well, they do say we are Cornwall's answer to Harrods.
No, it's the upper crust. Layer from my cesspit. Handsome for shooting your tatties too.
Ha, 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 ha. See? There's something for everyone here at Pengo Bills. Even people like Margaret. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Teresa Gems, and I am a fully qualified member of the National Association of Walking Tour Guides.
And I'm Gavin Gems, and I'm here too. Apologies for the graffiti on the sign coming into town. Lonson's symbol is, of course, the castle. Not a badger fornicating with a pasty.
Launceston is Cornwall's ancient capital, and today we'll explore its rich history as well as taking in its many hairdressers, charity shops, and notorious multi-story car park.
Why is Launceston the ancient capital?
Well, back in Tudor times, Launceston was considered the main town because it was where the Duke of Cornwall lived. But it lost that status when he moved on to St Austell.
Like when a man loses his faithful husband status because he moved on to a 26-year-old who works at the local supermarket.
Okay, now, you might hear the locals refer to the town as Lanson, but we grew up down west and we say Launceston. Hopefully I won't offend any residents because Launceston is going to slip out.
Gavin's an expert on slipping out, aren't you? Especially in the middle of the night to meet his fancy woman while his wife is dealing with a crippling bout of post-pregnancy hemorrhoids.
Did someone say castle? Launceston Castle was built 2 years after the Norman conquest of 1066. As opposed to the Norman conquest of last March when someone slept with a cattle feed salesman called Norman in the back of his Peugeot.
It was a Nissan Micra, Gavin. As well you know, and at least he knew how to make a woman feel like a woman.
Excuse me, do y'all put clotted cream and then jelly on your scones, or is it jelly first, then cream?
Right, well, first of all, it's jam, not jelly, all right? And to clear up any confusion, in Cornwall we do jam, then cream, whereas in Devon they worship Satan.
Launceston is made almost entirely out of granite, just like my cold, unfeeling wife.
I have got a feeling for you, and it's hate.
I hate you more.
Kiss me!
I'll tell you what with Reg Keast is proudly sponsored by Macho Substrates for hardcore and grit. Grrr.
Hey, it is catchy, that jingle. Gets in your brain like one of those tapeworms.
I saw a documentary about tapeworms, or was it a dream? Or maybe a film?
Oh, hello, caller. Reg Keast here.
your stamen shaman.
All right, Reg, it's Barb Pentelic here.
All right, Barb, what's on, girl? How's your produce coming along? Listeners, Barb here is a grower of extreme vegetables.
Prize-winning vegetables, the biggest in Cornwall. But these are dark times, Reg. My marrows have come on better than ever this season. I've had two marked for show, but it's all over. Someone's taken it upon themselves to carve expletives all over them. Expletives and genitals.
We got a call on line two, Reg.
I didn't know there was a line two. Hold on there a minute, Barb.
Hello, caller.
All right, Jan.
All right, who's that?
Messenger. Barbara Pempillick is a cheat and a blackguard. Her marrows were never worthy of the show ring. With God as my witness, that wench has been taking charmed water from the holy well at Menacull and injecting it into her marrows.
These are some sizable accusations to be making.
I knew it was you, Charles. Wait till I get you. Injecting my own marrows. Obviously, you know all about needles with that Lee, your steroid-injecting beefcake son. Charles, you're a vandalizing tosser. Even Cinderella didn't have a pumpkin as big as yours in 2017. I'm coming for you right now, you slanderizing bastard.
Barbara, here, Barb.
Come at you.
Lee, it's happening. Guard the door.
I'm having a yogurt.
Get your ass up now or I'll...
Oh dear, Reg, should I call 101?
What's that?
It's the police, but for minor and non-urgent crimes.
The police have two numbers now. How am I supposed to remember that?
It does seem a bit excessive.
Yeah, I wouldn't trouble him anyway, Jan. Charles's greenhouse is done for and Barb will give his gourds a right kicking.
On the plus side, I reckon we'll be getting some marrow chutney at the quiz next week.
Chutney? That's a whole new kettle of rivalry. Jan, after what's happened today, we shall have no opinions on jarred produce. End of.
Now open, the brand new theme park based on Cornwall's most popular entertainment franchise, Daphne du Maurier World. A fabulous day out for all the family, especially the kids.
We went on the Rebecca roller coaster and it was really scary. At first it went up a steep hill and then it showed us a woman being emotionally tortured by her husband's housekeeper who's obsessed with the memory of his dead first wife.
Spread out across nearly one field, Daphne du Maurier World is filled with attractions based on those two books you've heard of and the 14 you wouldn't recognise if they were chucked at you by an angry librarian. And don't miss The Birds Experience, the story that inspired Hitchcock's classic film Firsthand by being viciously attacked by our on-site flock of killer sparrows.
The bird experience was great. I mean, I have lost the sight in both eyes, but the look on my children's faces was well worth it, I imagine.
Visit Daphne du Maurier World today. Just follow the signs to Foy and turn left when you see the queue of disappointed crying children.
Dear Mrs. Clack, we're still at Sarah's home, Holiday Cottage in Portreath. It's been drizzling all week and Fred has a cold sore, in case you're wondering. Last night I was listening to the waves crashing against the rocks. The rhythm seemed to start slowly and steadily and then speed up until suddenly it reached a crescendo. All rather thrilling, I suppose. Then Fred came in to ask if we had any petroleum jelly for his lip. I decided to pop out for a stroll in the Mizzle and get some beans from the corner shop. I arrived at the corner shop in good time. Everything was laid out exactly the same as back home, but the beans were higher up. Excuse me, would you kindly fetch me down a can? You're taller than I am.
I imagine most people are.
Oh, how I laughed, Mrs. Clack, gaily and with abandon. Own brand is fine, it's for a stew.
Nothing wrong with own brand tin.
And then he turned to face me and smiled. I blushed scarlet. Apart from his puffer jacket, he was the spit of Ross What's-His-Name from Poldark. I expect you Cornish prefer tin to plastic.
Why?
His glittering eyes flashed angrily. His dark hair was curling defiantly on his collar, standing out clearly against the paler tubs of clotted cream.
Tin mines are all shut down.
Tin mines are all shut down. Suddenly I noticed that he was unshaven and wasn't wearing a watch. He must be unemployed, if not actively homeless. An ex-tin miner, Mrs. Clack. And there was me openly goading him, like a yokel poking a bear with a sharp stick. He hated me. He thought I was a second homer. If only I could be more like him, Cornish. I closed my eyes, and suddenly I saw us. Ross Thingy Poldark, with his dirty face and strong arms, coming in from a roaring storm, soaking wet and illuminated by the lightning like something from Jamaica Inn. Me, his cook, making him a pasty with apple at one end, just the way he likes it. Rosy-cheeked, in a slightly ripped blouse and one earring. Are you going mining for tin again, Ross?
Of course. Tis the lot of the Cornish man that he must contort his sinewy body into a passageway only 1.5 foot square and crawl 3 miles underground and extract tin so that the glitteratory of London may have fresh marrow fat peas.
Go on.
I'll have to go down the tin mine for the next 7 years, digging out the tin with me bare hands in the chill of winter and the heat of summer, returning so exhausted that I can only lie in bed while you wash the tin dust from my muscled body with a wet tea towel.
You suddenly look much younger, like a little boy.
Of course, there's always the danger that overseer Denzel Pendragon will have a crafty woodbine near a seam of explosive gas, causing the mine shaft to subside. And I'll be simultaneously blinded and crippled, and you'll have to nurse me back to health. Before I find out, I'm secretly the heir to the mines, and I was swapped at birth and cheated of my inheritance by my scheming cousin. So we'd live in this cozy little cottage, but be millionaires.
We? I thought you hated me.
Well, I did, but since you've been making cream teas as it is traditional and waltzing about in a see-through blouse, I've had a change of heart. Let's get married.
Yes, let's get married.
Let's get married, then you can get your own tin.
I don't understand.
There's tins down there, look.
And suddenly I was back in the shop. Next to a bin of dented tins marked 20 pence. I saw Ross Poldark shoplift a packet of wine gums and exit whistling. His strong arms silhouetted against an engine house. In the distance, I could hear the lighthouse foghorn. I was reminded of the after effects of beans in our house. I decided to leave it. And I promised myself I'd never ask a Cornishman to reach for some tin ever again. Apart from that, it's all been marvellous. Goodbye for now, Mrs. Clack. P.S. I hope your boil clears up.
Was on Cornwall starred Kieran Clarke, Anna Curl, Tamsin Kelly, Joe Neary, Edward Rowe and me, Dawn French. It was written by James Henry, Morwenna Banks, Catherine Beasley, Max Davis, Gareth Edwards, Jane Harvey, Tamsin Kelly, Joe Neary and Alex Smith. The script editor was James Henry. The music was by the Jolly Strumpets and the producer was Simon Nichols. It was a Mighty Bunny production for BBC Radio 4. Cheers and gone.
There'll be more Cornish fun from Dawn, LJ and Jess and the Wazon team at the same time next week. On Front Row at 7.15, Sir Lenny Henry on his debut as a playwright. And we'll hear from the Tibetan monks who are forced to relocate to South India. They're about to tour the UK.
On BBC Radio 4, that moment when you just look out and you do hear the first blackbird singing, and I still have that sense of, it's a pretty amazing world.
A new series of castaways choose the music that has soundtracked their lives.
I'd put my headphones on in my grandma's front living room and I would imagine myself in the universes that he was scoring.
Including Simon Pegg, the writer Kate Moss, and beginning with the historian, Professor Peter Hennessy.
And this for me is the closest I ever get to eavesdropping on genius.
Desert Island Discs with me, Lauren Laverne. This Sunday morning at 11.15 on Radio 4 and BBC.